BK.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard. Happy Thursday to you. John McGinnis with you. News 93.1 KFBK live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app and on your smart speaker. Hope you're having a good day. And we got a smorgasbord of topics to get through as we work our way through the afternoon. Later in the program, we're going to be joined by Stockton Police Chief Eric Jones, who by way of full disclosure, I find him to be an extraordinary gentleman and a fine leader who has done a phenomenal job in leading that organization through some very, very difficult times. No secret that he lost an officer earlier this week, one of two California law enforcement officers to be killed in the line of duty during National Police Memorial Week. So we're going to get the chief's thoughts on that and some of what he would like to share, what he would like you to know about the people who make up that organization and the law enforcement profession. That's coming up after the bottom of the hour news. I'm looking at some things going on, and there's a couple of things that kind of, I think, have some connection to one another. I hear people talk about how history will record certain periods in time. And people will espouse that they believe that that when the history books are written, this global pandemic will identify some shortcomings, some things that were done wrong, some errors in judgment that were made along the way, and it's probably some things that were done very, very wisely and appropriately. But I have to question that, because who will be writing the history? It's interesting to look back to the 1957-58 Asian flu pandemic that killed somewhere between 1 and 4 million people globally. And I wrote a research paper on that in grad school, so I do have some rather intimate knowledge of it. But I researched back then, many, many years ago, to see how was this treated in terms of public consumption of news. And there was nary an article to be found on it. It was very, very, very scant little information that was written in the major newspapers. Pull up the headlines for the Times on both coasts, the Sacramento Bee. There was just very, very, very little talked about during that time frame. So as we look to how history will truly treat some very critical events, which is essential in order to use the past as a means by which to avoid mistakes in the future, it's really truly fundamentally important to understand exactly how things played out and why they were treated the way they were and what the benefits, costs, ramifications of certain courses of action were. And I'm fearful that as we start to sugarcoat things too much and lose our capacity to accept and share the truth, that will be a casualty of that accuracy will be a casualty of not being willing to step up and call things as they are. And there's an illustration of that in fairly recent history. The FBI has said for several years now that the shooting incident in Virginia that very, very, very seriously wounded House GOP whip Steve Scalise back in 2017, they've called that a suicide by cop, which I find to be very, very interesting, because if you look at the totality of the evidence that's abundantly available in that situation, that does not comport with the truth. And so just last week, the FBI doubled down and refused to rescind its determination that that was, in fact, a suicide by cop. The claim is that it was motivated by he is a decedent. He was killed, of course, by the Capitol Police in this encounter. But he also had a list. He was targeting specific members of Congress, people who happened to be a member of a particular political party. And the FBI acknowledges that they would not likely have treated it as a domestic terrorism, or they would rather treat it as a domestic terrorism event if it happened today, but they won't clean the record. They won't correct the historical perspective on this. I find that to be very, very troubling. The FBI, she's one of the brass. I don't know what her position is, but she's speaking on this, Jill Sanborn, and she says, "It's fair to say the shooter was motivated by a desire to commit an attack on members of Congress, and then knowing by doing so, he would likely be killed in the process." She's the executive assistant director. And she offered that those comments before a hearing for a House Appropriations Subcommittee, adding that this conduct is something that we would today characterize as domestic terrorism event. But why not correct the record? That this just simply was not this not representative of the course of action that this guy took. But she testified before the House Appropriations, and Ms. Sanborn said that the shooter, James Hodgkinson, appeared to be motivated by a, quote, blend of factors, but ultimately intended for the shooting to be his final act on Earth. He died shortly after the shooting after a firefight with police. Sanborn's comments came in response to questions from the panel's top Republican. That would be Representative Robert Aderholt, whose inquiry came after a week in which GOP lawmakers repeatedly upbraided the FBI for its years-old conclusion. By the way, first reported by Politico last week, it has not been in the public domain, that the attack should be classified as suicide by cop. It's just simply not, it doesn't comport with the truth. It's not what took place that day. He had a list. He had a hit list of people he wanted to kill, a significant number of people he wanted to kill. The lawmakers say the FBI revealed its conclusion during a private briefing with members of the GOP baseball team back in November of 2017, but their conclusion remained secret until Representative Brad Westrup from Ohio was present when the June 14th shooting took place, actually grilled the FBI director, Christopher Wray, about it during a House Intelligence Committee hearing last month. Democrats and Republicans raised concerns about the FBI's classification of the attack during the time, at that time of the hearing. Asked about Sanborn's comments, Westrup said, actually a spokesperson for Westrup said, the congressman was grateful that the FBI broadly addressed his concerns. However, we expect answers specific to the June 14th assassination attempt and look forward to working with Republicans and Democrats on the Intelligence Committee to obtain the answers to our questions, he added. Testifying last Thursday, Sanborn said that if the shooting happened today, the case would likely be classified as domestic terrorism, in part because of a shift in the understanding about lone wolf actors since 2016. The FBI has noted an increase in attacks by people with multiple motivations, some ideological, some personal. Now, this guy, Mr. Hodgkinson, the person who executed this plan, he was armed with the ability. He could have killed himself. Generally speaking, and again, just to make it clear, I hate that term suicide by cop. I find it revolting, but it is a phenomenon that exists. But typically when people do that, it's not unusual that they do not have a deadly weapon at all. They don't have the capacity, the literal capacity to end their life. So they behave in such a way as to draw gunfire from the police. In this case, the Capitol police officers that were there at that scene and also took gunfire themselves were not in uniform, so they were not clearly identified as law enforcement officers. And in fact, when the suspect arrived at the field, he asked if this was a Republican team. And then he asked about particular individuals that were on that list. So was he prepared to meet his demise that day? I think that's a safe conclusion to reach. But that is not that's not the truth in terms of what motivated him to do that based upon the totality of this evidence. So why is it that we can't come to terms with the truth? Why can't we speak the truth and acknowledge things historically, memorialize this event as what it was? It was an assassination attempt on Steve Scalise, among others, at a baseball practice. And it was a case in which this man was prepared to lose his life in the course of executing that plan. Why can't we speak the truth? I find that to be so incredibly frustrating, and it's troublesome for me because as we, 100 years from now, somebody looks back on this case, they're not going to have the benefit of all the knowledge that is very real at the ready today in terms of what motivated this guy to engage in the course of action he did. Honesty is absolutely essential, and without it, you cannot draw legitimate conclusions. You can't learn from mishaps. You can't identify a better path going forward to minimize the likelihood of something like this happening again. I don't know if there's a partisan political component to this. I'm just not quite sure. But I do find it to be cause for concern that we cannot just cut right to the chase and be honest. You can be honest and candid and still be respectful and acknowledge the totality of everything involved. But to fail to do so, I think, is a gross disservice to the constituents of the nation's leadership. Why not? Why not call it what it is? 800-834-1530. Got other things I want to talk about this afternoon. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today by Dan Henninger talking about the reality, observing what's taking place in terms of human behavior as it relates to all of the benefits that are coming toward individuals, theoretically under the banner of pandemic. But it is having a chilling effect on people going back to work. And so the question he asks is, is the work ethic in America dying? And I think it's appropriate to look at that in the global sense and then just kind of compare and contrast what you see in your personal life. How do you see people behaving? Are they behaving differently than they had been? Are there still people who show a commitment and allegiance and an adherence to the concept of the fundamental work ethic? I think there are, frankly, but his observations are valid. And it's not only evidence as it relates to people not going back to work, to the grind, but there's also evidence to suggest that it's more difficult to get students back into public school classrooms than many of us thought it would be. Pretty clear evidence out of the Los Angeles Unified School District. So we're going to look at all this stuff as we work our way through the conversation this afternoon. And again, Chief Eric Jones is going to join us later in the program. 800-834-1530. We'll get your calls as we have a chance to do so.
Covering the local angles and bringing you the in-depth analysis you won't hear anywhere else. John McGinnis, each afternoon.
3.1 KFBK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with you. News 93.1 KFBK live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Talking about things going on in society, how we process information, how candid we can be. Have we lost our capacity for the truth? And if you look at some of the historical events, I don't know if they were fully candid with us at the time, but looking at prior pandemics as an example, it looks as though things were handled differently. And the record of history that has come out of that in terms of the manner in which they've been recorded could actually be very, very useful in terms of charting a good path today. Now we have evidence to show that the FBI is declining to call the assassination attempt on Steve Scalise and others what it is. And I find that to be very, very, very problematic. And then you look at what's going on in terms of the reluctance for people to get back to work, in spite of the fact that there is now north of 8.1 million vacant jobs in the country. I do find that to be extraordinarily compelling when you've got a mere 266,000 people connected with those employers during the month of April. And it's written about today in the Wall Street Journal by Dan Henninger, and he talks, I think, in very, very clear, good terms about what this suggests in terms of how people are behaving. And then in addition to that, the story out of the LA Times, only 7% of high school students have returned to campuses in the Los Angeles Unified School District, where extensive safety measures have failed to lure back the vast majority of families in the final weeks of school for myriad reasons in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, attendance numbers at all grade levels in the nation's second largest school district have been lower than expected, based upon an earlier parent back-to-campus survey. About 30% of elementary school children have returned, about 12% of middle school students, and despite low expectations for secondary schools from the onset, the district had anticipated that more than twice as many middle and high school students would return. So, what does this mean? What does this suggest for the future? Is this just, have people gotten used to a different lifestyle, a different way of doing business? I don't think I could be persuaded to believe that students have been really, truly getting all of the benefits of traditional education from their living room, and especially if they're not supervised by parents. It's been a completely different approach to business. And by the way, now the CDC has said today, it looks like the risk is really not there for school kids. Well, that evidence has been known in the medical profession for a long, long time, approaching a year. So why did it take so long, and what have we created, and have we established new habits that will be very, very difficult to overcome and change? Are you concerned about this? Frankly, I am. I see it as a very legitimate cause for concern. So where do we go from here? What will it take to spark people to go back? By the way, the Arizona Governor Doug Ducey today has taken a course of action, which he says the federal money that passes through the state of Arizona to go to people for enhanced unemployment benefits is going to stop. He will instead use those proceeds to actually incentivize people to go back to work. You're seeing a handful of states that are doing that now. And I know there's a lot of criticism. People are saying that that people are lazy and that's why they're doing that. But I think for many, they've found themselves in a position where it makes more sense. It's a matter of a pragmatic decision. If you can get a deferral on paying your rent, you don't have to do that, and your kids aren't going to school, and you're getting paid the same or nearly as much or perhaps a little bit more to not go to work, and then there's an opportunity to do that. You can go to work, but your kids still are not back in school, and you don't have to really pay your rent if you've taken the steps necessary. We learned at the bottom, at the top of the hour news today, that you still have to take steps. You have to engage in certain specific actions to protect yourself from eviction, which, of course, leaves the landlords completely out of it. I think that's very problematic. But the combination of all these factors and our lack of capacity to accept and embrace and live with the truth seems to be a real problem that I think could possibly plague us for some time. 800-834-1530. Let's get to your calls. Let's check in with Max in Sacramento. Max, good afternoon. Welcome to the conversation. Thanks for holding on, sir.
Afternoon, Sheriff. You know, I have a question, you know, as it relates to the FBI mm-hmm. Calling the attempted assassination an act of terrorism or not. And it's really more about terminology, and I'm asking you from your perspective as a law enforcement guy. Back in previous assassination attempts, you know, John Hinckley with Reagan, and right. you know, and even with all the way back to Kennedy, I don't recall those being referred to as acts of terrorism. I just referred them as assassinations or assassination attempts.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a very fair observation. I think it's a very fair observation on your part. It was an assassination attempt. I also happen to believe that it's domestic terrorism because he had a hit list of not just Mr. Scalise, but many others. And it was a plan that he actually developed in advance. There's evidence of that. Then he executed that plan that day. But to call it suicide by cop, that's where I part company, because it is not an accurate reflection of what he did that day. There is ample evidence to show that he intentionally went there for the purpose of taking the life of specifically Republican members of Congress. That is the first order of business for him. Was he willing to sacrifice his life in that crime? Yeah, I think there's evidence to suggest he was. But that was not the chief motivating factor, and that is not the conduct for which he should be remembered. So to treat history accurately, so we can learn from this and address these kinds of challenges in the future, I think honesty is absolutely important. Appreciate the call very much, Max.
You can text John at 51881. Start your message with KFBK. John McGinnis. Afternoons 3 to 4 on KFBK.
The information you need when you need it. So many devices, so much information. Tell your smart device to play News 93.1 KFBK on iHeartRadio.
Thanks for listening.
Sacramento's News 93.1 KFBK.
Well, just in case you missed it, mortgage rates have dropped actually back down to their lowest points of the year. Hey, it's John McGinnis here for Loan Pronto. Don't miss this fresh new chance to lock in your forever loan with Loan Pronto. Call now and take advantage of Loan Pronto's special zero-cost refi program. You can actually snag a very, very low rate with no junk fees and no closing costs. And how about this? They don't just roll the closing costs into your loan. They actually cover them for you. Who else does this? If you thought you'd missed out on the best rates ever, you have another chance. Even if you refinanced last month or last year, you can do it again. Loan Pronto's all-digital process is fast and easy. Most loans get closed in 14 days, and most don't even require an appraisal. Call Loan Pronto and start the process before rates spike once again. Do it now, and you could even skip your next couple of house payments. Call them at 916-307-6555 or visit loanpronto.com. If your current mortgage rate starts with a 3, act now. 916-307-6555. Or loanpronto.com. That's 916-307-6555. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all.
And one. KFBK.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with you. News 93.1 KFBK live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app and on your smart speaker. Sad note here. We're going to be joined here momentarily by a man I hold in extraordinarily high regard. That is the Stockton Police Chief, Eric Jones. And we're going to talk about a very, very, very sad reality, a situation, an incident that's repeating itself with increasing frequency in California and, frankly, across the nation. And that is the ultimate sacrifice played by a law enforcement officer on the streets of a California city protecting the public. Chief Jones, thank you so very much for joining us. I know you're extraordinarily busy, and I appreciate your taking time out to share a little bit with the audience, with your constituents, about a little bit about Jimmy Inn, who he was, what he brought to the equation, and what it's like for police officers in 2021 dealing with all the conflict and controversy, and frankly, I think, my words, not yours, an abundance of misunderstanding as it relates to the role of law enforcement in American society. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. You're absolutely right, John. And you know, thank you for having me today. Thank you for your continual support for law enforcement. I just appreciate that. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about Jimmy Inn, a Stockton police officer who gave the ultimate sacrifice this week. And you know, I swore him in as a brand new police officer 5 years ago, and Tuesday he was tragically taken from us. And you know, I guess I want everyone to know who Jimmy was, a bit about his wife Tila, who she's a Stockton police officer, right? They're both Stockton police officers, and they have a young 7-month-old. So just so right, so sad. I spoke with Tila, you know, the day of the tragedy, and she is so strong and so amazing. And Tila has a message. And of course, those of you out there in the law enforcement world know what this means. She gets priority one radio traffic, meaning her message gets to go before mine. And Tila's message was this: I see all of the posts. I see all of the love. And I see all of the support. And although I can't respond to everyone, it is greatly appreciated. So to everyone out there, I mean, during this climate, and there is a misunderstanding, or I think an imbalanced approach to the national narrative, right, that's not highlighting the dangers of police work, we appreciate the support. Tila personally appreciates the support, and show it. You know, post on our social media your support. Because she's seeing it, she's watching it, and she's appreciative of it. And you know, I'm proud of our department. They're strong. They're resilient. We've been through several tragedies over the years. And my department's grieving. I'm grieving. But we also are going to continue and protect and serve. And if I can, I'd like to talk just a little bit about Jimmy.
Please.
If I could, John.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jimmy Inn, compassion and courage, he exemplified both. I mean, just well-liked within the department, an amazing man, an amazing father, amazing husband. At the department, not a single person could say a bad thing about this guy. He was just so always positive. And that's what Tila told me, too, is, you know, no matter what the case was, he was always looking at the optimistic side. He was a member of our honor guard, which meant – you know, that those are the folks that actually would go out to other officer funerals and pay respects. And so, you know, extra difficult. And I want to tell a quick story. Jimmy and Tila, they were at an establishment. And it's one of those you do sticky notes where you do kind of a pay it forward.
Right.
And so you throw it on a sticky note and you write, you know, words, and both Jimmy and Tila left a sticky note, and it was in the writing of Jimmy, and this was the exact quote he left on that sticky note, and this says everything about him. Quote, "Be the light in the dark," end quote.
Wow.
And that's him. That's what he's about. And so I just want to make sure we honor Jimmy, and I also want to make sure that we highlight the dangers of police work, which as mentioned, gets lost in the narrative. And he had responded to a domestic call. And, you know, candidly, he did everything right. And the bad guy just did a sudden, violent, cowardly firearm assault on my officer. And so, you know, when we hear a lot of this defunding conversation or the defunding movement, It's not well thought, and candidly, it's absolutely preposterous. So we continue to mourn at the Stockton Police Department. And I guess my ask of the public is just support the men and women of law enforcement because we need it.
I echo that 100%. And I want people to understand, and I know you're abundantly aware of this. When there's a death in the family, people shut down. They don't go to work. They don't go to school. Their focus is on their grieving. In the law enforcement profession, when you have somebody pay the ultimate sacrifice, there are still crimes being reported in the city of Stockton. There were immediately after and during the encounter that cost Jimmy and his life. So you have to be tough. You have to be in it. And I want people to understand that an officer responding to a domestic violence call in the city of Stockton or anywhere else, by the way, they're trained. That the expectation is that they can't do anybody any good unless they survive that encounter with a historically very, very high-risk course of action, high-risk activity. They have to go. But please understand that as an officer approaches somebody in that kind of a conflict, their guard has to be up, especially when they learn about his situation, his encounter, not unlike a traffic stop. And I think sometimes it's shocking for people to understand that a law enforcement officer will treat you with a tremendous amount of suspicion if he or she has occasion to stop you on a dark street at night. But you know who you're dealing with. They have no idea who they're dealing with. And so please understand from the public perspective on this that this is an inherently high-risk job. It is that the risk has intensified in recent years. And I never had the honor or pleasure of meeting Officer Jimmy N., but I'm sure there are a lot of things about him, as you indicate, that people would love to know. And it kind of illustrates the fact that it's not just a cop, not just a badge, not just a black and white patrol car, but it is a human being who has specific interests and has been called to serve in a unique way. And when they're injured, they bleed. And when they die, the community grieves and suffers. And that should never, ever, ever be lost. And there should be respect and honor paid to him. I know that will happen. I don't know if the plans are finalized yet for a service, but I know that that's a part of your task now. Any word on that yet?
Yes, we do know the services are going to be next Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Christian Life Center in Stockton. And okay. So, of course, attendance will have to be limited somewhat. Right. We're working through that, but I'll tell you this, we're going to honor him proper, and we're going to honor him big because he was the epitome of a police officer, and we need to honor him, his family, and the police department and the law enforcement community in general.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It sounds like we need more people like him. The community needs him. We should celebrate his life, and I you know, to the extent as possible, as people encounter law enforcement officers on the street, if they're tied up in the middle of something, obviously not a good time to do it. But if you have an opportunity. An occasion where you can just share with them your sense of appreciation, that goes a long way. And I know from your personal perspective, Eric, you have the horrible experience of actually recruiting, training, and swearing in an officer, sending them out into the field, and then you ultimately have to lay them to rest. And that is it's a painful experience, something that the vast majority of people will never know, which is good. But I know you're a tough guy. I know you're skilled and an extraordinary leader and communicator, and the department and the city are well served by your presence there, and you have my absolute sympathy and concern for you during this time. You and your entire department, please convey that.
Absolutely will. Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much. Chief Eric Jones, Stockton PD. Coming right back.
Local news, breaking news, traffic, weather, and the in-depth analysis you need from John McGinnis every afternoon, 3 to 4.
93.1 KFPK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with your news, 93.1 KFPK, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app and your smart speaker. Eric Jones, I appreciate him very, very much. He's got a tough job there in the city of Stockton. I think it's a great city. He's got a lot of character, but it's a tough city. And they have had their share of challenges from during the time he's been at the helm. The city has had tremendous challenges in terms of crime and violence on the street. One of the most outrageous, notorious crimes with a robbery at a bank, followed up with a kidnapping and just outrageous shooting incident that took place, a rolling shootout. And again, the city endured bankruptcy, all while he's at the helm of the police department. He just he's an incredible leader. He's an honest, forthright person who brings issues to the fore that need to be discussed. He doesn't duck from anything. So the city of Stockton is very, very, very well served by his presence there, and I appreciate him personally and professionally. And just kind of circle back to where we started on this this business of the need for truth. And the prior caller, I wish we had more time with him. But he's asking, okay, what's the difference if you called an assassination attempt or a suicide or assassination attempt or domestic terrorism? Well, you know, there is a bit of a difference there, I think, but honestly, I'm fine with either one of those. But his mission that day, clearly, as evidenced by documents that he had in his possession, utterances that he made on that athletic field that day, was he was there for the purpose. He was armed and prepared and had the state of mind indicating that he wanted to bring harm. He wanted to kill specific members of Congress. Honestly, I don't think it much matters that they all happen to be Republicans, but it's the truth. Once again, it's the truth. You can't sugarcoat, you can't change things and create a legitimate history that can be used in the future. There are other nutcases that have attacked Democrats, liberals. So call them what they are. Call every single one of them what they are. Record history properly. But the greater disparity comes from indicating that this was a suicide by cop. And every time I hear myself say that phrase, I grimace because I don't like it. But I acknowledge the fact that it is a legitimate phenomenon. People do that. Unstable people who want to meet their demise have baited other human beings who happen to be law enforcement officers into a position where they know that they will logically engage in a course of conduct that will ultimately cause what they wanted to have done themselves, but for whatever reason can't do, to occur, that being their own demise. There's a high-profile case in Sacramento in recent years that appears to be just that. Stephon Clark. That's what that is. To call that suicide by cop, I think, is a legitimate, accurate recollection, recording of history. But to refer to this case in which the greater harm to come was not his own demise. This guy that shot Steve Scalise and the others, he was not there for the purpose of causing himself to die. He was willing to die in the course of that crime. I think it's safe to say that most armed robbers are prepared to shoot it out and perish in a shootout after their crime. That's what this guy did. He could have approached a uniformed police officer anywhere in Alexandria, Virginia, and drawn gunfire and caused his demise. That was not his end state. That was not his ultimate goal. He wanted to bring harm to other human beings. That was his purpose. That was his plan for being there. If we don't record history accurately and call things what they are and dispense with nonsense having to do with political correctness or political ideology or a representation of one side versus the other in terms of the great political divide, then we're destined for failure. We won't learn from the mistakes. And I have the exact same concerns as we look at this pandemic. The big announcement today, of course, the CDC says, I don't even know exactly what it is that they've said, but they acknowledge the fact that many people have known for a long, long time. It has not been a well-kept secret that the need to wear a mask has greatly diminished if it was ever really, truly necessary. I think there's still a certain politeness that can be applied when you have people who are fearful of getting the disease. But by this point, everybody who wants to be vaccinated, I think, can be vaccinated. And if you choose not to be, you take chances. That's on you. It's your call. And nobody should be judged for not doing so. Either way, it's an individual personal choice. Let them make that choice. But as we record this period in history, I think it's that reflection, that memorialization of what took place in 2021 is not going to be a good match for reality. That's it for me, as you can tell by the sound of the music. But stick around. You've got the lovely and talented Kitty O'Neill coming up next with the afternoon news. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great evening. So long.
Building a better Sacramento. News 93.1 KFBK. News Radio. An iHeartRadio station. Also heard on 1530 AM. And available everywhere on our iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcast.